Today on Vox Talks Economics, who's trading with Russia? Welcome to another in our episodes based on papers presented at the third Kiel CEPR conference on geoeconomics. My name's Tim Phillips. The EU, the US and the UK as well imposed trade sanctions on Russia after it invaded Ukraine. Not so Turkey. Have Turkey's exporters filled the gap created by the reduction in exports from other sources? And if so, how do they manage the reputation on the operational risks in trading with Russia? A new paper discovers whether Turkey's firms have been, in the words of its title, trading around geopolitics. Authors Giancarlo Corsetti of the European University Institute, Beata Jaworczyk and Banu Demir of the University of Oxford. Beata is, of course, also chief economist at the EBRD. Join me now. Welcome, all of you. Welcome, Giancarlo.
Hello.
Beata.
Hello, Tim.
And Banu as well.
Hello, Tim.
Beata, this all dates back, of course, to Russia's attack on Ukraine in 2022. Take us back to that. Which nations imposed trade sanctions? How big were these sanctions?
After Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine, several packages of comprehensive sanctions have been imposed. These packages included sanctions on exports to Russia. 45 countries are participating in these sanctions. This, of course, includes the EU countries, the US, Canada, but also Singapore, South Korea, and Japan. And these sanctions cover three types of exports. Dual-use goods, that is, goods that can have military uses, goods that can enhance Russia's industrial capacity, and finally, luxury goods. So, for instance, champagne and expensive clothing are subject to sanctions.
Banu, why isn't Turkey on that list of sanctioning countries?
Turkey had very strong ties with Russia as well as Western countries before the invasion. And Turkey has been playing a balancing role for a long time between Russia and Western countries. And there was obviously some good economic opportunity to exploit. So this is not something we are trying to answer in the paper, but as a background, this is what I can say. So Turkey wanted to continue with its balancing role after Russia's full invasion of Ukraine.
Now, these trade sanctions weren't the end of it, were there? Because there was also an attempt to disconnect Russia from the international financial system. How did that work?
Well, this attempt has been pretty effective. The majority of banks operating in Russia have been cut off from the SWIFT messaging system, which means that effectively they have been cut off from the international, particularly Western payment system.
So let's have a look at the potential reaction of exporters in Turkey. There is obviously an incentive for them to trade with Russia. Are there risks as well to doing this?
Yeah, and this is what we really wanted to understand in the data from Turkey. So if you think of a firm considering increasing their export to Russia, is deciding what and how much to trade, is decided how and when they want to be paid, in which currency, if through which contract, through which banking channel, and whether they want to use cash in advance contracts in which they receive the money before delivering the good, or they can go through current practice, for example, of being paid afterwards. And most important, whether trade with Russia would compromise trade or relation with other countries that are imposing the sanctions. So we had this idea of looking at the different factors. The pull factors is that Russian markets are now more appealing because many firms previously exporting to Russia have withdrawn because of the sanctions from other countries. So there are market opportunities. On the other hand, there are risks. Risk of not being paid. Risk of being name and shame in the international community, being subject to secondary sanction. Part of this is also the risk of being caught, being visible, being conspicuous in this trade. So some people may want to keep the trade below radar.
In 2023, we spoke to Jean Imbs about whether the trade sanctions that followed the attack on Ukraine were hurting Russian or European firms more. Listen to the episode, The Impact of Trade Sanctions, broadcast in June.
Banu, to do this investigation, you're going to need data at the firm and the product level. Where do you get data like that?
So, as Giancarlo explained, we were trying to understand the trade-off that firms faced when exporting to Russia. For that, we definitely needed firm-level data, and there were sanctions imposed on certain products, but not others. So, this calls for a typical detailed customs data that many countries have. But given that trade contracts are quite complex, as Giancarlo explained, there's pricing, there's payment method, there's currency invoicing, and firms can actually adjust on different terms when faced with these risks and also opportunities. So in that sense, well, the Turkish customs data that we use in the paper is quite unique because it tells us quantities, prices, payment terms, and currency invoicing for every transaction that Turkish firms are engaging with. We got the data from Turkish Statistical Institute.
Thank you to the Turkish Statistical Institute.
Absolutely.
Yes. Now, the headline result, first of all, what was the change in exports from Turkish firms to Russia after sanctions?
About 30% increase.
Wow.
But let me clarify. We don't look at total trade. We abstract from re-exports. In other words, we abstract from the possibility that evasion of sanction is taking place by exports being routed from Europe via Turkey to Russia. Mm-hmm. Instead, we focus on direct exports, on exports of firms that already were supplying the Russian market before the war. And then we ask how much they increase their exports to Russia of a particular product. So the headline number is 30%. We see that increase in exports is particularly pronounced in goods that are subject to European sanctions and in goods where the EU used to have a high market share. So in other words, Turkish exporters are filling the void that has been left by discontinued European flows.
And do we know this is true? Because the Turkish economy has been very volatile in recent years. Do we know that this activity is an increase specifically in exports to Russia rather than a general increase in exports?
You're absolutely right. So to be able to identify the effect of the invasion on Turkish exporters in the Russian market, so we need to control for many other factors that could affect the export performance of Turkish firms. So to do that, we are using Eastern European countries as a control group, and we are also controlling for the overall scale and export size of Turkish exporters. So in a sense, we are looking at the differential effect on Turkish exports to Russia after controlling for firm, product, and country level factors.
So the Russian firms that are doing the buying, yeah, they don't have many options. Is there evidence that the Turkish exporters put their prices up?
Yeah, actually. When we try to look into the composition of export, we find definitely an increase in quantities, mm-hmm. but also an increase in unit value and prices. And so overall, there is both a combination of having larger markets and markets on which they can actually get more revenue by increasing their markups. And we test that by looking across different destinations with a methodology. And we can say that relative to the price increase, about two-thirds is a markup increase, which is a big deal in terms of both quantities and profit opportunities for Turkish firms.
And it's worth adding that this increase in unit values, so in prices, and this increase in markups is primarily driven by goods that are under Western sanctions.
Is there also evidence that they were aware of the risk that you were talking about, that they might not get paid?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We have an interesting way, thanks again to the Turkish data, to detect the breach of ongoing contracts and move out of normal payments terms into cash in advance. More and more firms in Turkey want to be paid before, which means, you know, there is an increased perception, given everything else, the risk. This is interesting because it's across all goods, sanctioned and non-sanctioned, which means it's really something that has to do with Russia, the fact that there is an incentive to go into cash in advance.
What currency is this trade being done in? Is it dollars? Is it rubles? Is it Turkish lira?
Even here, we have this clear move out of the dollar in invoicing, in pricing, into Turkish lira. More or less at the margin is the same kind of percentage. So out of the dollar into the Turkish lira. Now, why that is? There is a bunch of reasoning we can have. It's not clearly that it would be like the Russians do not have dollar. It's more the fact that firms may have been trying to go into circuits away from international banking, the use of the dollars, maybe using local banks and Turkish lira.
For these Turkish exporters, is this entirely new business for them, or are they diverting trade from other markets and putting it through Russia?
According to what we find, we are not really seeing a significant trade creation effect after the shock. So at least during the 2-3 year time period that we are looking into, it looks like Turkish firms diverted their exports from other countries to Russia. So the overall level of exports at the firm level didn't really change. Of course, once we have more data, this result might change. So due to capacity constraints or other factors, Turkish firms could only divert their exports from other countries to Russia. But in the longer run, this might actually have some trade creation effect. So we are yet to see that.
You're squeezing an enormous amount of information out of the data that you have already. So I have one more question about that. Are firms that are more vulnerable to this reputational risk that Giancarlo was talking about, are they less likely to be trading with Russia?
Absolutely. When the war started, Western firms were widely expected to cut their ties with Russia. Tim, you may recall many high-profile announcements of firms leaving the Russian market.
Yes.
You may recall that some of the firms that remained have found themselves under enormous pressure to exit Russia. So affiliates of Western multinationals in Turkey seem to be facing similar pressure. They may be worried about their reputation. They may not want to be seen as trading with Russia. And we see this clearly in the data that affiliates of Western multinationals are not taking advantage of this void that was left in the Russian market by increasing exports to the same extent as is done by Turkish firms. We also see that Turkish firms with big exposure to Western markets, so firms that export a lot to the West, seem to be more careful. They also are less enthusiastic when it comes to increasing exports to Russia. They simply may be fearing secondary sanctions.
Is there any evidence here that the Turkish firms are sanctions busting? They're basically importing goods from the UK, the US, from Europe, and then just re-exporting them to Russia.
This is not a question we looked at as we consider only direct exports. And actually, if you consider aggregate statistics, you can't detect that very easily because Turkey seems to have increased exports to Russia across the board in both sanctioned and non-sanctioned products.
So we're focusing on exclusively Turkey today, but that maybe gives a misguided impression of who is sanctioning Russia and who is trading with Russia. Are these Turkish firms at all unusual, or are they typical of other firms in the region? And if so, does this really undermine the trade sanctions that exist against Russia?
Let me give you an answer in terms of what we would like to know trade is costly to set up, is costly to disrupt. When we go into a world of geopolitical fracture, it would be very important to understand how markets react to that. There are contracts that are ongoing that are difficult to disrupt. On the other hand, these contracts are flexible and they may reflect different incentives to take advantage of the opportunities of the markets that is to be empty out because of the sanctions. On the other hand, there are risks. I think that there is a general lesson here to be learned that there will be market activities mending the geopolitical fracture. And it will be very important to understand what drives this mending, what drives this ability to reach across geopolitical regions, even in a world that goes in an increasing conflictual scenario.
It's worth to take a step back and look at the geopolitical picture. 141 countries voted at the UN to condemn Russian invasion of Ukraine. However, only 45 countries are participating in sanctions. China, India, Serbia, or United Arab Emirates are not party to sanctions. So it was predictable that trade diversion would happen. But it doesn't mean that sanctions are not working. If you believe that Western countries export the most technologically sophisticated goods, then Russia is still deprived of access to newest technologies because Western firms are for the most part not exporting to Russia.
Finding partners in other countries is pretty difficult. What helped Turkish firms was Russia was already a familiar market. It was close and it was easy to find trade partners after the European firms left the Russian market. So in a sense, it was easy to divert trade from other countries to Russia. It was easy to find trade partners. The effect of distance and having more established economic relationships with the country affected really helps.
This is inconvenient for policymakers in the 40-something countries who have imposed sanctions. There's an economic interest here, isn't there? And nothing illegal is going on. So is there anything that sanctioning governments can do to prevent this trade?
Not much. Even if you put pressure on one country, there will be another country that will step in. So it's like with a balloon, you squeeze it on one side, it will bulge out on another.
So interesting to have a picture of what's really going on. Thank you very much for talking about it today. Thank you, Banu, Beata, and Giancarlo.
Thank you for having us, Tim.
The paper is called Trading Around Geopolitics. Authors Giancarlo Corsetti, Banu Demir, and Beata Jaworczyk. We have all the authors here today. It is University of Oxford Discussion Paper 1052, if you want to look it up that way.
This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. In the next few months, we will regularly be featuring the important events in geopolitics and their consequences. If you want to make sense of the world, well, others help you. Subscribe so you get all of our episodes on your phone as soon as they're released. Next week on Books Talks, what can we do about social isolation in the classroom?